new faces and old, I'm going to say. Just familiar. Okay, familiar. I'm sure you're all going to join with me to welcome Rinpoche here. I think most of you know Rinpoche, so I'm going to do a really short introduction.
Since ages. We became old together.
So for those of you who don't know, Rinpoche is a Tibetan master, Tibetan Buddhist master, and he...
A very great one.
Sorry, very great, very great. And he's part of the Kagyu lineage, but he's received teachings from all the main Tibetan schools, so not just the Kagyu, so we're very fortunate in that. He travels the world making these wonderful teachings accessible and relevant, I feel, to the modern day life. This ancient wisdom, bringing it just, you know, you can really feel the relevance to your own life, well, I can. I think he's very well known for his sense of humour, you probably heard that already. His friendly and approachable style of delivering what can be really profound teachings. So, no further ado, I'll give you a Rinpoche. And oh, today's topic is about the illusion of separateness. Which Rinpoche asked me what we're doing just before we arrived.
Was I not meant to say that?
Anyway, thank you, Rinpoche.
Thank you very much. Yes. Yes. Because I don't understand the topic. Do you have any questions? Besides the topic. Because, you know, sometimes you make a topic and, it must have a very deep meaning, but you know, sometimes people have their own questions. And many times I found that it becomes more useful to make it into a kind of informal discussion on, you know, what people want to know about, and then to, you know, say something on a quite kind of elegant topic. If you have some questions, I will be very happy to start the discussion on that. Yes.
So today I was thinking about my good friend Kenma.
Yes.
At the front, and I was thinking whether I could come and see him.
Huh? And
then I texted her, and I didn't mention that at all, and she invited me this evening. And I just wonder whether or not connection goes beyond physical space between people, and whether there is anything in that. Was it just a serendipity moment, or was there actually a connection?
I don't know. But you are connected with Pema, and you know her, and she knows you, and she knows me, so, you know, we get connected through this way. So, you know, probably this is called interdependence, yeah?
I'd like to ask about bereavement and mourning.
people longing for people that aren't in their lives anymore.
People longing?
People longing for a person who has now died.
Yeah.
I think that's something that affects a lot of people in my generation now, with parents, and that could be one of the reasons, this illusion that someone has gone from you. Is there anything about that?
Yeah, this is one of the main problems, maybe you can call suffering, of the world. You know, Buddha described four kind of sufferings and problems. We human beings, you can call it if you like, encounter in life. Besides our usual kind of changes in life, like old age, sickness, and death, that we always in our life encounter times when we don't have, we don't get what we want to get. That's one. We always encounter this problem of getting what we don't want. And we always encounter this suffering of losing our loved ones and the things that we don't want to lose. And we always encounter problems of getting together or, you know, facing people or situations that we don't want to face, you know. So these are something that, you know, that's happening to everybody all the time. And these gives lots of pain and suffering to all the people. And that's one reason why Buddha, it is said, he chose to go away from his palace in search of some other way of solving these problems, because he found out that even if he could bring, he could become the most powerful emperor that he was predicted that he could become. Even he became the most powerful emperor, he could not solve all these problems in the people. So therefore, he was thinking what else he can do. And then he found somebody who is supposed to be a monk or a spiritual person who was trying to find another approach, that you change your own way of experiencing things from within yourself, and through that you can make your these problems and situations, you can face them better and you can deal with them better. So, you know, the teachings of Buddha is therefore, you know, after he became enlightened, is all about that, how to work on our, how to understand, how to understand our emotions, how to transform our emotions and reactions, and then how to understand what is the nature of myself and what's the nature of the everything that's around me. So therefore this has a connection with this all, I think, because many times we have people whom we love, and then we have an illusion that we will be with them all the time, you know, and we get very attached to them, we want to spend all our time with them, but we forget somehow that this is not possible, you know. Everything changes all the time, and if we happen to come together, we have to go apart also. Anybody who meets has to depart. Anything you build has to come to an end. Anything starts, that has to, you know, go apart. So therefore, this understanding, many times we intellectually understand somehow, but to have this understanding very deeply is not easy, you know. Because if we understood that very deeply, then, you know, when we are together, we would love each other, we would be very kind to each other, we will appreciate that time together in a very, very strong way, because we know that we don't know how long this will last. And then we also know that this has to come to an end. And if we did that, if we really lived together in a very nice way, loving way, kind way, you know, then many times when that happens, when we part, of course we will miss them, but we also will have no regrets, you know, because it's something that happens to not only me, but to everybody. So when we can understand that deeply from the beginning, I think our time, we can mourn, of course, we can, you know, remember them, we can make all the different kind of positive actions to dedicate for them, all these things is normal, very good, but we don't have to too much like lose our life, kind of, you know, pleasure of life, the joy of our life, because this is also, in one way, another kind of wrong, you can say wrong, maybe that's not a good word, but it's another kind of reaction, you know, like, I've lost that person, as if I am here all the time. You know, it's not that, you know, I've lost and somebody just disappeared. We are all going that way, you know. So therefore, you know, that person went ahead, and then I'm sooner or later following that, you know. I heard a story recently about this three laughing monks. There was one time in China, three monks. They were not doing anything. They were not giving teachings. They were not saying prayers. They were just going to one village and go to the place where, like, people, most people are there, and one start to laugh, and another, both, all start to laugh, and they laugh and laugh. And then the people come, and in the beginning, they get kind of, it was kind of strange, so they laugh at them, and then after some time, they laugh with them, and then after some time, all of the people laugh together, you know, and they laugh and laugh and laugh, and when everybody is laughing and laughing, then they slowly sneak out, and this village becomes, they enjoy this laughing, so they come and laugh all the time, again and again. So this way they spend all their life, you know, going from one village to another, laughing and laughing, and then, you know, spreading that laugh. And then one time, one of the monks died. And then these two other brought the dead body of the dead monk. And then people didn't know what would happen, because, you know, now this is a serious case, and they, you know, they couldn't laugh. So they were saying, you know, what happened, you know? And this one of them said, well, a few days ago we made a bet that three of us, who will go first? And now this bastard went first. And they laughed, you know? And then everybody laughed, and you know, losing this friend and third monk didn't make them not laugh, you know. So I think it's sometimes it's like that, you know. If you, you know, we all have to go anyway. So, you know, some go a little bit early, some go a little bit later. And it's not that somebody went first, that I'm not following. I'm following probably very soon, you know, who knows. So therefore, it's not like I have to mourn and I have to be so, yeah, you know, because I don't know how long, how much time I have. So with that time, I should better use it in a way that is good for me and good for others, not kind of just, you know, be only sad and, you know. So that's, I think, the idea.
Rinpoche, I think it was it you who said, and you will correct me if I've got this wrong, when a baby is born, the baby is crying, but the parents are laughing. But when somebody dies, they're laughing, but their people around them are crying. Is that you who said that?
Could have. I hear lots of things, I read lots of things, and I say lots of things, but sometimes I forget. Yeah. Nowadays, you know, I'm not getting younger. So I even getting, you know, forgetting the names of, like, my dearest and nearest people also sometimes. You know.
Obviously, we're all trying to reach an enlightenment and bring everyone with us, and we're all non-violence. And the world seems so opposite to that now, and it seems to be getting worse and worse, and more delusional, more egoic, all of that stuff. Do you see a time when there will be some sort of Buddhist revolution where people will, where once we let go of capitalism and this kind of world that's killing the world and creating more suffering? do you see a time where we will get like a, even if the environment collapses and then we come back, you know, these huge cycles of time, like the Buddha, you know, will there be a time, do you feel? Or talk on that.
I can't say, I don't know, but, you know, it's not impossible, I think, you know, because basically, you know, we all want that people are nice, people are kind, people are friendly, people are respectful to me. Yeah. And if I get this kind of, you know, kindness, love, friendship, respect from people around me, I feel very good. Yeah? You do, no?
Yeah.
Everybody. And that's for everybody. Yeah? And so therefore, you know, I know that if I would be kind, loving, friendly and respectful, people will be happy, you know. And if people are like that, I will be happy. That's not just me and you, it's everybody, you know. And if we did that to each other, you know, if we were respectful to each other, friendly with each other, kind to each other, everybody will be happier. There will be peace in the world. You know, there is no, there can't be any war. There can't be any atrocities. You know, there can't, the world will be a heaven on earth, no? And that will be very good for all of us. We all know that, you know. And not just that, you know, if people are nice to me, I will be happier, but if I myself feel kind and loving and friendship, and I feel so good, you know. I don't feel good if I'm angry. I don't feel good if I have, you know, kind of enmity. I don't feel good if I have to fight with somebody. No. So why we are not doing that, you know? It's not surprising that, you know, we are not making, it is surprising that we are not doing this.
I can't believe it.
Yes.
It's so obvious.
Yeah, so, but this is because, I think, this is because as it is clear, we don't understand this that deeply, you know.
It's superficial.
Yeah, that deeply. And our negative emotions and our kind of way of seeing things, you know, our way of understanding is not good enough, not clear enough, not deep enough, you know.
We anger easy.
Yeah.
We get scared easy.
Yeah, and we think that, you know, if something happens that's not good, we should get angry. We should fight. We should, you know, kind of do something against things. We, you know, we don't act according to how we really should be doing, you know. If somebody is a little bit angry or upset or unhappy, we should be more kind to that person and see why he's like that and what can we do so that we can help him become free from all the miseries he's getting. But we don't do that. You know, if somebody is a little bit upset or we just like, why are you so upset, you know? You know, why are you looking at me with kind of, you know, you need boxing. Then, you know, all these things. And then people try to make, you know, try to divide some people who want to harm you. They divide and they say, oh, it's you are somebody else, we are somebody else, you know, all kind of things, and then all the problem, no? So therefore, we need to slowly learn. It's nothing to do with Buddhism in any way. You know, we don't have to become Buddhist or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We just have to know this.
Mm-hmm. Every
great master and great, you know, teachers have already taught that. Nobody said you should fight each other, you should, you know, be unkind to each other. Nobody. Mm. You know. So therefore we have to understand the essence of that, not like, you know, I am Christian, so nobody is good except you are Christian or something like that, or, you know, I am Muslim and nobody is good unless you are Muslim. When this kind of things is dividing, you know. So same with Buddhist, you know. It's, if I am Buddhist, then I am good. If I am not Buddhist, I am not. That's not the case. They are good Buddhists, they are little bit better Buddhist. They're quite okay Buddhist. They're really good ones, some. And they're very bad Buddhist also, you know. You said that I'm Buddhist, but you don't do anything that Buddha tells you to do. So, you know, what kind of Buddhist is that? So therefore, it's not, you know, not that identification. And then we always have, like, you know, me, I only, you know, have to do my own kind of, you know, selfishness, self-centeredness, yeah. You know, and then, you know, greed and anger and all these kind of things. Jealousy is very strong. So this is, you know, so we need to learn how to work on these things that actually prevent us from being a good human being.
I find it's easier to be a good human being when I'm not interacting so much with the world.
Yeah, but... But we are social beings, you know.
Indeed we are.
So we can't be just, you know, alone. So we can't survive. We have to go to the market to buy something, and to buy something we need to earn some money, and to earn some money we need to do something, and if you do something we need to do it for somebody, otherwise, you know.
But you are right. I find when I am kind to someone in the street and they weren't expecting it, they are kind back, and suddenly
of course
that spreads, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that
it's
is
such hard work.
That's the problem. Actually, it should not be hard, because, you know, you will be very happy if you feel kindness and friendship, no?
Yeah.
And other person is very happy if you are kind, and you know. And so therefore, you make a friend, you enjoy that. But it's not the hardship, it's the, you know, we don't trust in that. We don't kind of have we have too much negative habitual tendencies and, you know, things like that. So therefore, this understanding has to go very deep and very, you know, everybody. You know, that's, if that understanding becomes, you know, everywhere and everybody very clearly, then there is no problem, and it's possible, I think, because I see this fashion, you know, they kind of make a dress, and then the next day, every day all over the world wears that, yeah. The jean was tight a few days ago, and now it's a little bit loose. And everybody is wearing this one, which is much looser, you know. Mm-hmm. How can they make it do that? It's nothing better or worse. It's exactly the same. They have paid quite lots of money to buy this. And on top of that, you know, sometimes it's so bad. You know, they use like totally torn up things. You know, totally. You can see your, you know, knees and, you know. And it's not, you know, the wind is coming and, you know. Even in very cold places, you know.
You've got to look good, though.
Yeah, and I was wondering, you know, why would they pay, you know, if it is just thrown on the street and you put it on, that's another matter. But you have to pay lots of money, you know, more money than those which are not, you know, torn, you know. And this is everywhere. This is not just, you know, one place, but all over the world. This kind of, today is, you know, the news that almost the next day, it's all over the world, you know, like all over the world. I don't know how they do it. I was thinking, you know, we should employ some of those fashion makers and make them make a device how to bring loving kindness and compassion to the world. You know, is there anybody here who is in fashion design? You know, I mean, it's so useful. So, you know, there's absolutely no use fighting, you know? No. I mean, if you have a war, who is the winner? I mean,
no one wins.
Yeah, both sides. You know, we do everything to destroy anything and everything and give all kind of hardship and pain and death and, you know.
But can it reach a peak of suffering where suddenly something does change within us?
They should, but in the history, no. We have not seen it. Yeah,
no.
People, I mean, if you look into the history of human beings, we've been waging wars, I don't know, since, according to Indian kind of mythology, they said that before Mahabharata there was no war. That's supposed to be like 5,000 years before. But that, you know, nobody really knows exactly if it's that or not, you know. But then, since then, we have been having wars all the time, you know. And every war is a destructive war. There's not a kind of nice war, you know, or kind war, anything like that. Of course, everybody says, I'm doing it for the good of everybody. Mm. Yeah, but there's no good. And then it's still going on, you know, still going on. And if there was, you know, if we would have understood from this, it would have changed. Mm. No, but we haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So therefore, the only thing is to have deeper understanding. That's why we always say we need to have compassion. We need to understand what is good for us and good for others. But we need to have wisdom. That what is really good, you know, it just not like wishing well is not enough. That we need to know what really is useful and, you know, beneficial for ourselves and others, you know. So if we can slowly get that, then we can, you know. So this is how it is understood. And Buddha said, they are also, you know, like, they are predictions, you know, from every, I think, spiritual master and great beings. And most of them say it will go kind of worse and worse and worse, because it's not that we become wiser, but if it's like, our negative emotions become more raw and more stronger. We become more greedy, more you know, more, what can you say, more self-centered, egoistic, and then, you know, more easily hurt, and then so we react, so then we bring more conflict, not peace. But it also says, you know, in Buddhist tradition, it said very clearly that if we want, we can have very nice and very positive and very good time, you know, like this loop of what we call as the Satya Yuga, you know, the golden era. We can have loops of golden era whenever we want. We just have to decide ourselves how what is best to each other. And then we try to react in this way. And if somebody tries to divide us, tries to bring war and all kind of things, we all say no, you know? Yeah. And then it becomes, because if most of the people, we can't maybe convince everybody, because some people have their interest in making war, mm-hmm. you know? And they think that, you know, it's also, you know, a little bit, you know, ill, you know? They think that, you know, this film I've been talking about, this film all the time, the English, in English there's only one film which is good. That's this, you know, 007, what is his name?
James Bond.
And the other one, you know, what's his name? Who's not talking?
Charlie Chaplin?
No. He's also good. He's
Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean.
He is good.
Yeah. I know some one Irish filmmaker, and she was complaining, you know, why this, you know, American films become so popular, and then our films are much better, but nobody watches them. I said, I know why they don't watch them. She said, what? You just make them discuss, and no action. So who will watch them? You know? But this, what's his name? James Bond has action. No? And sometimes meaning also, I think. You know, there was this one of his pictures. I don't remember the name, but, you know, there was a doctor, you know. Very like... very, very like intelligent doctor, you know, not maybe medical, but, you know, and what he wants to do, he's very intelligent, and he became very rich, and what he wants to do is, he made a kind of a big kind of establishment, kind of place underground, under the sea, that even the, you know, nuclear bomb cannot bunker. He made a bunker, but not just a bunker, very big and very nice one. And then he wants to make, he wants to cause nuclear war between America and Russia. And so that they have a nuclear war and everybody on the earth is killed, so that he can own the whole earth. You know, that was his idea, his very intelligent idea. Of course, thanks to Mr. James Bond, this did not happen. But, you know, so I was thinking at that time, I mean, this is, many people are like that, you know.
Yeah.
And you think that I need to have the whole earth for myself, you know. And I was thinking that time, if I had whole earth for myself, would I enjoy it? I can't even show off. I think most of the pleasure of being very, very rich is to show off, no? Because if I have a house with 100 rooms, I mean, I cannot sleep in 100 rooms. You know, I need only one bed. And so, only thing is that, oh, I have 100 rooms, you know, you come and see, or something like that. Or oh, you can't see because I have 100, you know. That's. So then, what's the use of having the whole earth, you know? So, but people are so, I don't know what you can call it, stupid? Or misguided, or, you know, like, you know,
delusional,
that, you know, you do anything to have that happen. And I'm sure if he succeeded, he would not be happy.
No, of course.
He would not be happy. I'm sure he will maybe kill himself at the end, probably. So, but that's how we are, you know.
Yeah, we are, definitely.
So therefore we need some wisdom and we need some understanding, you know. Just intelligence and, you know, is not useful. But if most of us are like that, have some understanding, then those few who doesn't have has to pretend to be like that. I think so, you know. Because if everybody says, oh, everybody has, you are not so compassionate and kind. Oh, I am very compassionate and kind. You know, like. So then it's okay, you know, maybe he will become after some time. Yeah. But even if he doesn't become, it doesn't matter too much, you know. So I think that's not only my way of thinking, it's said like that, that you can have, you know, like golden times, you know, in the world, if people want. You know, it just they have to be.
It might not just be this time. It might be the next time. Or the time.
Well, I mean, any time.
Yeah,
any time.
Loads of times.
Yeah, any time. There is even a kind of prediction that one time, you know, when things become very bad, that they are so kind of, you know, so negative, they're fighting all the time, they're doing all negative actions all the time, so therefore everybody is like, you know, totally like, their lifespan is very short, they become very, very small, but this may be a little bit, I don't know if it is literally or it's what you call it, symbolizing.
Metaphorically.
Mm-hmm. You know, because there's also this, I was quite confused when I was younger. When I read from the like Buddhist literature, and not just Buddhists, but Hindus and others also, they said that, oh, we are becoming less and less kind of long life. Uh-huh. We are becoming less and less rich, more and more poor, and things like that. Uh-huh. And then in the other hand, you know, the from this scientific point of view, it is said we are becoming more and more long life, and more rich. So, which is correct? No. And So from one point of view, that is correct. You know, the longitude, you know, the life span of, say, like in India or, you know, in certain country, before it was, you know, 30 or something like that, and became 40, 50 like that, better. And everybody who didn't have car before have car now, and, you know, who didn't have machines have had, and then, you know, they have more facilities and things like that. So they are, in one way, richer. You know? But after, when we look in another way, you know, another way, you know, how rich I am. Is it if you have a bigger bank balance and cars and houses and things like that, is that rich? Or if I'm satisfied, I'm rich. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
So therefore, from the spiritual point of view, I think, it is said that if you have lots of things, it's not necessarily rich. If you are satisfied, then you are rich. Yeah?
Yeah.
So from that point of view, you know,
yeah, no, it's
then we don't know whether we are richer or poorer. Yeah. You know,
we do see people that are richer materially,
yeah,
but spiritually they're very poor.
Yeah, because if you have lots of things, but then if you feel much more kind of wanting, or you know, you are not fulfilled, you are not satisfied, you, then it's not rich, you know. So therefore, and also same with the, you know, time, like you might live after like 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, but if you didn't have any time to do anything, you know, if you didn't feel like you lived your life in a satisfactory way, then is a long life or short life, you know? So these kind of things, I think, needs to be reflected upon, you know? So therefore, you know, it's things like that. And so therefore, I think it's not like there will be time, this is the time. I think we can't say, because, you know, it's up to us, you know? If we human beings learn how to live life in a better way, good for ourselves, good for others, we can create this world into a most wonderful, actually, heaven on earth, anytime. It doesn't need even time. If you decide today that we are going to be kind to each other, all of us, tomorrow all the problems finished, you know. But, you know, it doesn't look like happening. But it's possible, you know, it's not impossible, because things have changed, things always change, you know. And when something is happening and then say that this is kind of almost the end, you can't reverse it, I don't think that's true, you know. Recently, you know, people have been saying that, you know, the environment has become so polluted and so bad that it's kind of not possible to stop this process, maybe, and it's going to end. And then, you know, we had this COVID, and I was in India, and Delhi, you know, Delhi, city of Delhi, has 25 million people in a very small area, and it's so polluted, And you know, when you arrive there, you immediately, you know, your eyes start to, you know, have pain. And then, because of COVID, you know, the thing stopped, you know, except it was closed, but not everything was closed, but, you know, it became much slower. And within a month and half or something like that, the whole thing changed, you know.
It did, yeah.
All the air became very nice, and you know. Usually you are like it's gray, and you could see, you know, from little bit away from there, you could see the Himalayas from Delhi. You know,
in 100 years.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, the nature has capacity to rejuvenate itself so quickly, you know. In Sikkim, you know, the animals, wild animals came on the street, you know, just few days, you know, one or two months. So therefore it's not true that things cannot be reversed. You know, things can be reversed quite quickly, but if we allow, if we don't allow, then it's another story. So in the same way, I think if we want to change, we can change. But we need to want to change, you know, and that's the problem.
I was wondering, I don't know, I just had this thought when you were talking about how people are getting worse with the greed and the negative things like obsessions with stuff. And I was wondering if, in my head, it was, I just felt like there could be a connection between like how the population is rising in the world, and there's less space, and there's less, it feels like maybe for people that there is less of stuff, and when people feel like there's less, then they start clutching onto what they have because they want to hold on to what they have and they don't want to lose it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
Do you feel like that would make sense?
Yes, I mean that's yeah. What people feel. That's always, you know, when people become greedy means that,
yeah.
No, that there's not enough, you know.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, Mahatma Gandhi said that at that time, you know, there is enough resources for all the people in this world to fulfill the needs of everybody. But there's no resources in this world to fulfill the greed of even one person. It's like that, you know. So I need everything, like the whole world. Then of course there's no, it's you know, it can't be. But if just, you know, fulfill my need, I need, you know, what I really need is three things. You know what they say? There's a film in India called Roti, Kapra or Makan. You know, roti means like bread, you know, something to eat. Kapra means cloth, that's something to wear. And makan means something where you can, you know, a place where you can shelter. So that's what we need, you know. And to have that is not so, you know, it's not so much. But, you know, if I have a little bit, I need double it, I need two, I need three, you know, like this. Then, of course, you know, nobody has enough, you know. So this is, you know, so this kind of, it's about understanding, you know, and about sharing, about, you know, opening our heart, you know. So these are things which, you know, I think it's more about people's, you know, how they open their heart and how they, it's not necessarily the place, you know. Of course, population is growing, and that could be one problem, but that is not necessarily unsolvable thing, you know. But you know, the greed is unsolvable thing, because you know, then you can't. So that's why I think first we need to understand what are the real problems, you know. So too much greed is a problem. Too much anger and hatred is a problem. Ill will is a problem. Envy, jealousy is a problem. Too much kind of self, kind of, you can call it like selfishness is a problem. You know, too much like arrogance is a problem. Not understanding, you know, each other, you know, like ignorance, misunderstanding is a problem, you know. So if we understand these problems as our main problems, and if we can, because if we act and react with these emotions and way of seeing, we create problem for others, we create problem ourselves too, you know. And we create lots of anxiety, lots of conflict, lots of, you know, pain and war and all kind of things to the world. So if we understood this, and if we can then start to transform that way of seeing, that way of reacting, that way of, you know, like addiction in our way of seeing, then, you know, we could change, because that's a fact. So if we understand that fact, then, you know, we become more kind, we become more compassionate, we can become more wise, because, you know, how to see things clearly and in a way that would make everything better, myself feeling more content, more satisfied, more happier, more joyful. Because if my mind is totally kind of overcome by these emotions, like hatred, too much anger, too much greed, too much jealousy, I am totally disturbed, you know. I feel totally disturbed, and I feel totally unhappy, you know. But if that's gone, and I can be much less of this, and, you know, can have more kindness, more peace, more joy, more understanding, I can feel much better, you know. Even if I have not that many things, it doesn't matter, because, you know, you can be quite happy, you know. So therefore, if this understanding can happen, then the things can change. And that's also, from Buddhist point of view, what we call Dharma practice, it's just that. There's nothing else, you know. Buddhism, for Buddhism, it's not about whether I believe in a creator or not, no problem. You believe, it's okay. You don't believe, it's okay. It doesn't make any difference. Yeah. You know, whether I follow this philosophy or that philosophy, Buddhism itself has lots of philosophers, you know. They say it even like this, you know, like, if two philosophers agree, one is not a philosopher. You know, you can't agree. Everybody has to have their own. thing, you know. You can discuss, you can debate all your life, you know. There's even story of, you know, in India during this Nalanda University, there was two great Chandrakirtis, two very great masters called Chandrakirti, both called Chandrakirti. And later on, of course, one had to change his name a little bit to Chandra Gomin, because both were Chandrakirti, so it didn't work. Because they stayed together in the university as neighbors and debated for 17 years. Every afternoon, in the morning, I think they did the classes and things like that. In the afternoon, they debated till, you know, the sunset, you know. So, and both were regarded as the most, you know, like, what can you say, accomplished masters, you know, not only accomplished masters, but enlightened masters. But they debated like that. So you can go on debating. Yeah. But that's not the problem. But it's the main thing is that we need to transform ourselves, you know. We need to, the main thing is all this negative state of mind, negative emotions and negative, you know, reactions and misunderstandings. That's what we need to kind of change. And if we can do that, if we can, then that's it. Then we become a transformed person. We become more kind and compassionate. We become more, you know, more wise. And then it's good for me and good for others. You know, that's the whole point, you know. So that's why I think the topic of the evening, although, you know, I didn't want to talk too much about that, but, you know, she said it's about, you know, about interdependence, you know. So, you know, that's, the interdependence is the, everything is interdependent, you know. There's nothing which is not just one, which is, you know, if you look at anything, it's not just one solid thing, you know. It's made of so many causes and conditions, you know. So therefore, everything affects everything. You know? So therefore, you know, there's two things, but these two things is not totally two things, you know, because the right and left is two different things, maybe. But actually, they can't be right without the left. You know? So therefore, everything is like that, you know. So therefore, when we understand this, then, you know, like we understand that. Not only that, you know, everything, we are all kind of connected. Our body is a connected thing. I feel that. I feel I'm like individual, you know. I'm individual. I am independent. But am I independent? You know. I cannot survive if there is no air. I don't know how long can I survive, you know, without any air that to breathe, you know. I cannot survive if there's no heat. I cannot survive if there's no moisture. I cannot survive if there is no space. So if one of the elements are not there, I'm not there. So how can I say I am independent? So in this way, everything is like that. You know, everything is interdependent, dependent, only relatively existing, you know. So when we really understand that, it's no use to fight, use to have all these kind of negative emotions and reactions. You know, I said that I need to get things, I need to have things, I need to, you know, accumulate things. I need to success, but for what, you know? I was reading today in, you know, this Margaret Richardson, this, where I'm staying with today. She's doing a website, Death and Dying. And there she got a kind of she got a kind of an interview with some celebrity. I forgot the name now. A lady, a young lady. I mean, maybe not young all the time, but you know, I think she died maybe young, you know, and she became very, I think, successful. She was an actress or something like that, and then she got cancer and she's like, you know, dying, I think. Then she wrote, you know, that all these things that she achieved and she at the end was nothing that really was worthwhile, you know. So it was really a very inspiring story. It's like that, you know. So we do lots of things, and that is, you know, and make lots of efforts trying to make ourselves something good or something very successful, something. But then at the end, you know, there's nothing much, you know. So the main thing is that if we can do something that makes my mind, my life more joyful, more satisfied, more peaceful, more transformed, that, you know, I feel kindness and compassion and joyful and feel that I've done something that really made a difference in the life of others, then I think I will feel much, much nicer, you know, when I die. Because I'm going to die anyway. You know? However much I don't want to, I will die, you know. And when I die, what do I need, you know? I don't need anything because I can't carry anything, you know. Like there was this story, I told this long time ago. Maybe I forgot some of them, but there was somebody, you know, and he was very busy and he was very important kind of person. And then suddenly somebody came and said, "Let's go." He said, "Where?" He says, "I am the agent of the, I am the angel. It's time for you to go. You are dying." And he says, "What about my things?" He said, "It's all in my bag." And he had a bag. So he says, "What do you have in my bag?" "Oh, everything that you need. It's no, don't worry." And then he said, "Is it all the, you know, like things, like money and positions they have?" "No, no, no. Those don't belong to you. That belong to the, you know, land. Well, it's not, that doesn't belong to you." And then he said, "Is it, now, like this, you know, he is those things like my love and my kind of." "So no, that's just the past and things like that." And then, you know, "Oh, maybe it's my achievement and things like that." "Oh, that's just, you know, and maybe it's my soul." "So oh, that belongs to me. It's not." So actually, then he says, "What belongs to me?" He says, "Nothing." So actually, he had nothing, you know. So you could carry nothing. So it's a little bit like that, you know. So But we think that, oh yes. And so we are always busy and, you know, very like struggling and very overwhelmed and very kind of, you know, stressed and very, because I haven't received that, I haven't achieved that, I haven't. And then we make ourselves so miserable by doing these things, you know, always stressed, always busy, always, you know, like totally, you know, effort, lots of. But at the end, there's nothing, you don't really own anything at the end. Mm-hmm. You know? So these things, if you understand, then maybe we can be a little bit less, you know, less greedy, mm-hmm. less upset, less angry, less possessive, you know, mm-hmm. less attachment. So when that happens, then we can let go of those things also, yeah? So, but this is something that we need to understand and learn. And then we, so that's, in one way it's very easy, but in another way, it's because that's not our way, you know, we are not trained in that way. We are not, you know, we have a totally different outlook, you know. That's how we are kind of educated in a way, you know. So that's the problem.
Do you think, Bhimshree, just going on from that, I was thinking as you were speaking that we are, especially I think in this culture that I grew up in, I was trained to be independent, as if there's a shame in being dependent, and or it's being selfish to be dependent. And I was just thinking about how unhelpful that is, because we all end up as these little islands in our own houses, trying desperately not to have any contact with anybody else, and then you end up in a kind of miserable life when you do that.
I you know, this is not, you know, I think people, it's a little bit misunderstanding, I think, you know. Our parents and our society wants you to be able to independent in the sense that you can be, you are able to look after yourself. And not just look after yourself, but look after others also. You know, that is more or less the idea, no? It's not that I just only think about me and nobody else, not that, you know. But sometimes then people kind of, you know, people go a little bit slightly wrong way, that, you know, it's the most important thing is only me and me only, and I have to be the best, and I have to be the you know, the, I don't have to, you know, I need to be myself, the, you know, the number one and everything important, and don't have to kind of care for anybody else. That is slightly misunderstood, I think, you know.
Also the way that
because one time I had this a little bit, you know, lots of people in the West, you know, they not only tell me, but I see that there is a kind of sibling rivalry, and the brothers and sisters are a little bit rivals. And I was shocked, because I don't have any rivalry with my brothers and sisters, and I don't think my brothers and sisters have any rivalry. And, you know, I love my brothers and sisters, you know, better than myself, and I think all of them love me too. So I think this can't be, you know, why is it like that? And then I slowly saw that it's been put into the heads of the children. Mm-hmm. I saw it. And then I told them, you are putting that into the minds of the people. You are training them to be, you know, rivals. They said, no, no, we are not going to. It's totally wrong. We are never doing that. And then I said, okay, I'll show you. And one time, one family got a new baby, and this baby was brought home. And then lots of people came, you know, and they were saying, oh, yeah, a nice, nice baby, nice, very nice. What's the elder one? How jealous is he? People are saying, you know. I said, look what they're saying. Is he very jealous? Is he not happy? How? He says, you are putting, you are saying that you have to be jealous because this other little bit, 2-3 year old, is listening. They say, yeah, but then what can we do? I said, that's very easy. You have to tell this elder one, now you have got your brother, you have got your sister is coming, your brother is coming. Just put that into their mind and they say, it's my brother, my sister. And they give their life for it. They do. You know, there's no chance of rivalry because it's mine. Yeah. It's very subtle, you know, it's very subtle and very simple in a way. But people do like that, you know, and they don't realize that they're doing it, you know. In the same way, you know, there's lots of, like, lots of tension everywhere, in the office, in the workplace, in the maybe family also, everywhere. Because everybody is competing, you know. I have to compete. I have to compete that my parents are loving me more than my brother and more than my sister, kind of, you know. So if I am competing, I cannot be friend. You know, because it's my competitor. You know, it's my. So therefore, I become lonely. I have to become lonely because if I'm, you know, if there are 100 people working together, and then I have to see that I'm better than everybody else. You know, I can't be a real friend with anybody. You know, I can be like. So therefore, then I cannot really trust anybody. I cannot really. So I have to be, you know, there's no other way but being lonely, yeah? So that's why there's so much loneliness in the society, because I don't really have somebody whom I can totally trust, yeah? So this is, I think, very bad, you know. It's not helping me, actually. Because I don't have to, you know, compete with everybody, you know. Maybe I can compete with one or two people in a way, a little bit, but it's much more, you know, much more productive if we work together, you know. If we can work together for any project, really nicely sharing, and it is much more productive, no? But no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just competing. And then only try to pull down the, you know. So these kind of things is coming from some kind of misunderstanding, you know. But many times we think that's the only way, you know, because that's how everybody does, and that's the way. So then, you know, we have to go doing that also, and then, you know, lots of problem, lots of misery, lots of conflict.
We'd have to kind of dismantle the whole entertainment by sport in the West. But in the West, there's a whole industry from school to the way people entertain themselves, watching sport, which is competitive. Mm. Somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. So it's really inbuilt in our society, isn't it, that you compete. And we enjoy watching that competition.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's supposed to be not like that, you know, supposed to be sports, you know, sports is like everybody shows their talents and their kind of, you know, and then whoever wins, everybody's supposed to be happy, no? That's what they call the, what is sportive, what do you call it?
Sportsmanship
is supposed to be like that, you know, that's supposed to be like, you know, you are happy if you lose, you are happy if you, you know, win, you just play, you know. And if we can do that, that's very nice, no?
Yeah.
And but then, of course, because of our kind of negative emotions, then we call it sports, but it's not really sports, it's fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's no longer become sports, so then sometimes people, you know, fight and they kill people, each other, no? You, so that's, you know, that's really... if it is really sport, if you really make it sport, I think this is another thing that we need to, you know, let the sports be sports, you know, and then everybody just enjoy it, show their talents, and then after whoever wins, congratulate each other. You know, that's the real sports people do, no?
Yeah.
Or supposed to do. And then it's really good, you know.
That's why we love Bake Off.
Huh?
There's a program on TV, and it is a competition, a cooking, baking competition.
Mm.
But the reason we all love it, well, I speak for myself, is because everyone is so kind to everybody, and it's all about helping each other.
Yeah.
And although it is a competition, it's the loveliness of the helping that is,
yeah,
why everybody loves watching it.
Yeah. So that's, you know, like, nice, you know. You have your competition, and through that competition, you know, some talents come up, you know, some excellency talents come up, and that everybody enjoys, and then you learn from there, and then you enjoy that talents, and then those who is not that talented can also improve on that, and, you know, then it's a very good thing, you know, it's a wonderful thing. But yeah, but if you just, like, you know, he's better than me, so I have to do something, then that's no longer no sportsmanship. You know, it's a...
We have 5 more minutes. Anybody wants to ask a question?
Do you get tired of travelling around so much? Would you not like to spend more time in one place?
I never got tired before. This year I got a little tired. And then I went to the doctor and they found that my vitamin D and vitamin B is too low. So they gave me some pills, and now it's okay. So thank you so much. Thank you very much. Yeah.